AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by Beko.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. The leader and three other members of far-right group the Proud Boys face serious prison time now following their federal convictions today in Washington. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
The Justice Department secured the conviction of four leaders of the Proud Boys for seditious conspiracy related to the January 6th attack on the Capitol.
Their sentencings will likely be in July. A fifth member was also acquitted today of seditious conspiracy. Protesters clashed with police today in New York City, where a homeless man died after being held in a chokehold by a passenger on the subway. The man was reportedly mentally ill and threatening other passengers before getting pinned to the ground. The medical examiner calls his death a homicide.
Maybe we found love right where we are.
Also in New York, singer Ed Sheeran won his big copyright case.
I'm obviously very happy with the outcome of the case, and it looks like I'm not having to retire from my day job after all. But at the same time, I'm unbelievably frustrated that baseless claims like this are allowed to go to court at all.
Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas is facing more claims of getting benefits from a billionaire. CBS's Stephen Portnoy.
The latest revelation from ProPublica is that in addition to private luxury travel and buying the home of Clarence Thomas's mother, billionaire Harlan Crow also paid the private school tuition of the justice's grandnephew. The nonprofit news organization says it happened about 15 years ago when the boy was living with Thomas and his wife.
The Army admits it's missing its recruiting goal again this year. Army Secretary Christine Warmoth testified about it before a Senate committee this week.
If we don't turn our recruiting situation around, I can't guarantee you that the Army won't have to make some more substantial potential for structure reductions.
Last year, the Army fell short by about 15,000 recruits. Teachers in Oakland are on strike.
We were supposed to negotiate in October, and they didn't come to the table until we said that we would strike.
We're going to be out here until we get some real proposals, and we're going to look at it, and then we're going to vote on it. And that's going to take some time.
They want raises, smaller class sizes, and better classroom conditions, including AC. State attorneys generals in New York and California are investigating the NFL over alleged gender discrimination and harassment of its female employees. They're looking into the league's workplace culture and whether it violated any laws, including equal pay laws. In a statement, officials say no institution is above the law, and they plan to make sure the NFL is held accountable. This is CBS News.
Clean dishes, clean planet. Save $200 in gift card rebates on eligible Beko dishwashers. Visit Beko.com/US-EN for more.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. They're getting closer to reopening the Great River Road in western Wisconsin, where a train went off the tracks last week near DeSoto. Crews are done processing about 2.5 million pounds of debris from the crash. President Biden and U.S. House Republicans are in a standoff over raising the national debt ceiling. Wisconsin Congressman Mark Pocan says holdouts are pushing the world economy to the brink of disaster if the U.S. can't pay its bills.
We've always lifted the debt ceiling because it's the responsible thing to do. President Reagan said that. Donald Trump said that. We lifted it 3 times for Donald Trump during his administration.
President Biden says he's open to compromise on taxes and spending, but not on raising the debt ceiling. In sports, the Rockies clobbered the Brewers last night 7-1. Milwaukee tries to avoid a sweep today. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
High pay with excellent benefits? Check. Fair treatment and safe work conditions? Check. A paid training program? Check. Check all of your career boxes with the International Union of Painters and Allied Trades of District Council 7. Experienced industrial painters and drywall finishers needed now or become an apprentice. Call Tom Coyne at 262-488-4839 today. 262-488-4839 or go to IUPATDC7.com.
Attention business owners. Stop throwing your hard-earned money away on rent. Imagine owning your own building and saving thousands every year. Sound impossible? Not if you use General Steel. General Steel can help you save thousands by owning your own custom-designed building. Just call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-74-STEEL to see how much money you can save with General Steel. Our buildings come with a 50-year warranty, and thousands of companies, from Fortune 500 corporations to startups, have trusted the General with their building needs.
If you need to expand or start a new business, you really need General Steel.
I'm very impressed with General Steel. Everyone's been extremely helpful. I'd recommend General Steel to anyone looking to build a steel building.
Stop wasting money on rent. Call 888-74-STEEL. That's 888-74-STEEL to find out about all our popular quick construction kits, including a 40 by 60 foot building or a 50 by 100 clear span building. Just call 888-747-8335 now. That's 888-74-STEEL.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk, from Butler to Windlake, always streaming at WAUK Radio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy!
Family-owned WarnerCellion.com. Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up!
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cuff, Hidney Cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local, national, and Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by Minnesota 350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, we got a big show, Wendy. We got Lieutenant Governor stopping in for a quick segment, and we got Robert Lilligren, and you got your sacred animal portion. Good to see you, and what a beautiful day here.
Yeah, really beautiful day here. And tomorrow, which is May 5th, is going to be MMIW, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Relatives Day, here at the Minnesota State Capitol.
Right, and all over the nation.
That's right. So it's a big celebration at the State Capitol, and you can come on down and be a part of it. What time is it starting?
Starting here in St. Paul at noon and going till 3, and then there's other things going on, and it's just a part of the celebration of Native American Heritage Month here. Mm-hmm. One of the things too, it's not a celebration, but it's a somber event. Mm-hmm. And I know a couple of years ago they had red teepees all over the Capitol, mm-hmm. red cutouts in the red dress, which is a symbol of our MMIWR, mm-hmm. and a lot of speakers. And I think we'll be having that happen again tomorrow. And again, I know there's something happening in La Crosse. A lot of mm-hmm. our Ho-Chunk relatives are going down there. So it's good for community, and especially since now things are opening up, since the COVID restrictions are a little less, and people are getting vaxxed, hopefully, and mm-hmm. keeping their distance from me, darn it.
Exactly. But yeah, it'll be a great day. The weather's supposed to be nice, and there's going to be a lot of people. Last year we were there, and there were hundreds of people there.
Thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands, yeah. Okay. And then, yeah. Hey, why don't we... jump in and see what the Lieutenant Governor has to say. Peggy Flanagan, check in. Peggy. And it doesn't look like we have Peggy ready.
Is the mothership getting Peggy ready?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, our Lieutenant Governor, Peggy Flanagan, sent in a clip.
Yeah.
And we should be hearing it any moment.
Wondering what's going on here. Maybe we'll have to play it a little later. What
one second here, guys, I'll have it for you.
Awesome.
Oh, great.
Thanks.
You know, when I panic and I start mumbling, Wendy, you notice that? It's like, but it's, you know, I just have to say, really excited to have the Lieutenant Governor stop in every couple weeks and give an update. Really, really sounds good, enthusiastic, and informational.
We really appreciate her taking the time to record something and send it to us. So she really feels that it's important that it gets out on the airwaves and people know about what's going on.
Yeah, and I feel really blessed to have that kind of relationship with her. To have that, are we ready yet?
We are ready.
Let her rip, the Lieutenant Governor.
Aneen, this is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I'm joining Native Roots Radio with an update from the Walz Flanagan administration. Since 1978, the federal government has recognized that Native children have a right to their culture through the Indian Child Welfare Act, a right to their language, a right to their tribal identities. And in 1985, the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act was adopted as a supplement to ICWA. And last week, we held a ceremonial bill signing for the law, strengthening the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act with tribal leaders and community members, including some who were present for the original signing of MIFPA in the 1980s. With this law, we are adding another layer of protection for Native families throughout Minnesota, regardless of the decision of the Supreme Court that they make later this year. This strengthening of MIFPA speaks to a vision that Governor Walz and I have for Minnesota, to ensure that Minnesota Mokoche is the best place to raise a family where every child is safe and protected and invested in. And that hasn't always been the case for Native children and families. But we know when Native children are connected to their culture, they thrive. And this work is just one step forward, ensuring that all families have the ability to thrive here in Minnesota. From the time MIFPA was established in 1985 to the expansion we're celebrating this session, this law emphasizes that tribal nations are positioned to give the best advice to us as a state regarding the best interests of their Native children. We are so thankful for all the work done in the 80s to make sure that this bill supplemented ICWA, and we are again grateful for all of the servant leadership to make sure that we are continuing to add protection for Native children and families. This week, we also held a triple bill signing for three incredible pieces of legislation: a ban on conversion therapy and protecting access to gender-affirming care and health care and reproductive health care. These laws help build a future that our young people, especially Native girls and women, and our LGBTQ plus and Two-Spirit relatives deserve. A future where they can be their full, authentic selves and exercise agency over their bodies and lives. A future where they can grow up knowing and loving who they are. Everything we do for the young people across the state and across the country. But let's be clear, our young people are fighting for their own future, and it's an honor to follow their lead. And to all the LGBTQ plus and Two-Spirit youth who are listening, I want you to know that you are seen, that you matter, you are loved, we have your back, and we want you to be alive. And I'm bringing a lot of mama bear energy into this work, because we know that gender-affirming health care and reproductive health care are life-saving care. By codifying protections to seek and provide gender-affirming care and reproductive health care into law, we are adding another line of defense in our state to ensure that these rights stay protected and that no one can tell you what decisions to make about your own body. We are also protecting young Minnesotans from the harmful and discredited practice of conversion therapy, because everyone deserves to feel safe to be who they are, love who they love, and live without fear of violence and discrimination. I'm tremendously grateful to the survivors who have shared their heartbreaking stories to inspire action, and the advocates who never stop pushing for this change. We would not be here without the tireless, deeply challenging work of the advocates and legislators who never gave up the fight. I'm proud to live in and raise a family in Minnesota, knowing that Minnesotans have the freedom to make decisions about their own bodies. And as we near the 10-year anniversary of marriage equality, I'm reminded both of how far we have come in this fight and how far we can go together. But the fight is not over. And I can tell you this, in Minnesota, we will continue to fight for love over hate every single day. And this is the message that Governor Walz emphasized in his fifth State of the State address, that Minnesota is a place for everyone, and the forces of hate and division stop at our borders. Our partners in the legislature have shown up for this session, ready to work. I'm incredibly proud of the work that we've been able to accomplish this legislative session, and there's still much more to do. With 3 weeks left, you can expect a lot of long days and nights, a lot of bills heading to the governor's desk to be signed, and more good work done for the people of Minnesota. I'm so honored to be your lieutenant governor. Chimi Gritch, Pina Geeky, and back to you.
Wow, thank you, Lieutenant Governor Wendy. That's always great to hear from Peggy.
She's so inspiring, and there's such good message, and I'm proud to live in Minnesota because of it.
Right, exactly. So we have like a few seconds here, and what we have 30 seconds, it looks like. And what are you going to be talking about?
I'm going to be talking about a plethora of things today later on the sacred animal section. So stay tuned, and it's exciting.
Yes, it is. Hey, I like that word plethora. And up next, we got Robert Lilligren, CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in Minneapolis. We haven't talked to him for a while. He's been in Italy checking it out, and we're jealous. We want to go there, and I know, Wendy, you've been there.
Yeah, I'd like to hear a little bit about his trip, if he's willing to share.
Right on. Hey, we'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Your Blue Line Extension Project wants to hear from you. We are working on extending the Blue Line Light Rail into North Minneapolis, Robbinsdale, Crystal, and Brooklyn Park, and connecting it to our growing transit system. Tell us about your neighborhood, your business, your family, and what you need from your Blue Line. Learn more and share more of your story at yourblueline.org. That's yourblueline.org.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we have Robert Lilligren on, Wendy. We haven't seen Robert in a long time, and Robert's the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in Minneapolis, Twin Cities. We're kind of butthurt because Wendy's been to Italy. How many times, Wendy?
Three different times.
Yeah, and nice. I've been there zero, so just throwing that out there.
Yeah, so bonjour, Robert, Wendy, Haley, nice to be with you. And I did just get back from an incredible trip to Italy, so my first time there. Mm. It was wonderful. So, Wendy, I'd love to compare notes.
Yeah. Which parts of Italy were you in?
You know, we were on a tour. We started in Rome, went south to Capri, as we say, not Capri, Capri.
Capri.
Assisi, then kind of back up to Florence with a layover in Rapallo, which I would love to visit more. And then ended up in Florence and then to Venice. And that's where
Nice. I've never been to Venice. That's one part I'd love to. But all the other places that you mentioned, I have visited. Yeah.
Not me,
Yeah,
Robert.
Well, in Venice, someday, Robert. Venice was super interesting because in the city of Venice, which, of course, is a series of 120-plus islands, but in 1970, there were some 150,000 people that lived in Venice and maybe 50,000 that lived on land, you know, on the mainland. And now that's flipped. There's only 50,000 people that still live in Venice. And now 150,000 that live around just because it's hard. It's hard to live in Venice. And I felt, you know, that evoked a lot of feelings about, you know, sometimes how hard it is to live on your own land.
Right. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Well, when next time we go, we'll look for a place to live, Wendy, because I know they're looking for people to move there. Right, Robert? Did you see that?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll move there. I'll move there with you. It's beautiful.
Right.
Yeah, it really is.
Well, we have a Native American month happening, and tomorrow's a big day, and I you sound like you have a little cold. I didn't see you at the opening, and I asked about you. And
it's COVID. I came back with COVID. Okay. I'm still living with the remnants. It's my first time. I'm super vaxxed. You know, I've had 6 shots, so it's been pretty mild. But yeah, I can't go in public.
Yeah, that's too bad. I'm glad you're all vaxxed up and you're having mild symptoms. So that's fantastic.
Thank you. Thanks.
Well, I'm knocking on wood, too, because I'm 6 vaxxed up and I have not gotten it yet. And, you know, I'm running all over. So I think I'm one of those people that won't get sick. I just keel over dead one day, you know.
Well, and I kind of hoped I wasn't the person who would get sick. But I did miss the Indian Month kickoff parade. I saw you guys were there. Mm-hmm. You know, our organization, NACTI, was involved in helping to put that on. Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, or MUD, did as well. But it just looked great.
Yeah.
You could just tell after 3 years of not being able to get together, people really vibed on being able to get together.
Yeah, definitely. We're blessed and we're hanging out this month. And I don't know, will I see you at the Capitol tomorrow?
No.
Probably not tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
He's got a quarantine.
I'm sorry. I'm rubbing it in, aren't I?
Jeez.
I know you are.
Jeez.
Well, who's going to be there? I'm thrilled that you had a lieutenant governor on tonight. And, you know, this is a big day, or this is a big era for the Native community here. So, good work.
Yeah, you know, and I just got to say, because I know Peggy and you have been friends, our lieutenant governor, for many, many years, and Wendy and I during the break were just saying we are so grateful that she stops in every 2 weeks with a nice little 7-minute report and, you know, get teary-eyed and blessed because she does that for us and our community and everyone listening to our show. It's a huge deal.
It's huge, right? And with Peggy being my white earth sister, but also I've been involved in her political life for 2 decades now. And I'm just thrilled to see what she's doing. You know, we don't always agree, and that's just the nature of politics and policy, right. But we need to support her and just, you know, what's next for her? And, you know, is it governor, senator, president? I could see that, you know, so let's keep supporting her.
Wow, that's great because, you know, Robert, when just before you said that, I was thinking that's awesome. I think it used to be like senator and then go to president. Isn't that the old way of doing it?
You know, there's lots of pathways there. And I will say back in 2003, 2004, when I first got to know Peggy as a candidate and was supporting her and helping on her campaign for Minneapolis School Board. And I remember at the time thinking, wow, this woman is so talented. She could be governor someday. And then I thought, well, heck, Why just governor? She could be president. Mm-hmm. So I'll just keep my eye on that prize and we'll figure out the path forward as we go.
Well, what's interesting, too, and I remember when her and Walz initially said that they were running for governor and she was going to be lieutenant governor at the Indian Center, that she had that great story about, you know, how he was a teacher and he came to the Wellstone and she was one of the Wellstone teachers.
Yeah, she trained him, right, as a candidate. And it was interesting. When I was on Minneapolis City Council, there were two other council members that were part of that same class that Peggy taught how to be candidates, you know, how to campaign. And so I think that's just amazing. And Robert, since you brought it up, you know, they kicked off their very first campaign at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. And I think you and I were standing shoulder to shoulder there. And for me, my big point and my care for my little sister, Peggy Flanagan, was I wanted to hear the terms co-governing. And to their credit, and if I didn't hear that, I was going to bring it up with Peggy. You know, you need to be co-governing. To their credit, they said that. We're going to co-govern. Mm-hmm. They said it like three times at the Minneapolis American Indian Center. And in two terms, now they've really been delivering. They are co-governing. Peggy has a voice in her state executive governance.
Well, you know, and two, it's interesting. I feel like rarely do I know who the lieutenant governor is in our state. And I, not because, just because Peggy's native, but because Peggy is co-governing, we do know her.
Agree. And I'll go back to the Dayton administration, Governor Mark Dayton with Tina Smith.
Right.
You know, he really elevated her role. She really pushed into leadership. You know, she's now our senator. Great. I worked with her in City Hall when she was chief of staff to Mayor Ryback.
Oh, wow.
The best hire he ever did, you know. And so... Wow. So I credit Walz and Peggy Flanagan for leveraging that moment, for elevating the lieutenant governor. It's elected a position, right? It should have authority here in the state.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't know. It's a lot of ways that it's really exciting to be a native right now. And I know we always reminisce when we didn't know where all the natives were. They were either Latino or Italian.
Right.
But now we're out front, yep. And a lot of you know, a lot of, I want to say, women natives are stepping out in front, you know. So that's the way it should be, and the way it is, in a good way.
Agree, and I'm thrilled with how high profile our Native women leadership is, not just in the state, but nationally. And this isn't accidental, right? We've been positioning ourselves into these leadership positions, take control of our own narrative, and the more we can do, the better. And I love what you're doing, the work you're doing, the work my organization, NACTI, is doing. We're about to help produce an international documentary about the progress the urban Indian community has made here in the metro. And people notice it. It's, you know, it's, we have a legacy of leadership from AIM on, you know, to really serve and support. And I feel like we're doing it.
You know, and not only that, but I feel like, you know, we have like Heather Keeler on and Mary Kunish on, Senator, and we talk about how Minnesota, especially with the trifecta, has been a real beacon for people to come here. You know, Wendy, we were talking about that, right, about parents and
trans kids feel safe here. They're going to move here. They don't feel welcome where they are now.
Yeah.
Right. So, right. And not just to come here, right? This is a template for 2024.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You can show what democratic leadership within a state does for the population and that people want that. And so that will impact state politics, you know, more than the crappy Republican, icky, you know, policies. I can't believe some of the anti-voting policies that are going into place, but it'll show. With a Democratic leadership in your state, you can really accomplish things. So Minnesota, Michigan, maybe Wisconsin, we're going to become national leaders exactly. in the 2024 political formula.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute, White.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
CBS News Brief. A big victory for the Justice Department today as four members of the Proud Boys were convicted of seditious conspiracy for January 6. Attorney General Merrick Garland.
The Justice Department will never stop working to defend the democracy to which all Americans are entitled.
A jury in New York found singer Ed Sheeran did not rip off Marvin Gaye.
They are in a songwriter's alphabet, our toolkit, and should be there for all of us to use. No one owns them.
He says a guilty verdict would have affected the creative freedom of songwriters. And police have arrested a person of interest for the stabbings at UC Davis. Davis Police Chief Darren Pytel.
He was wearing a backpack, and in the backpack was a large knife that was consistent with one that we were looking for based on evidence from the first homicide.
Two of the three people died yesterday, and another's still in the hospital. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. Dan Knotel was sworn into his seat in the 8th Senate District Wednesday night after resigning from the Assembly at 5 p.m. He served 13 years in the 24th District and served as Assistant Majority Leader and Chair of the Republican Caucus. Senator Knotel will complete the term of former Senator Alberta Darling. She resigned her post in December after spending 32 years in the state legislature. A group of Republican state lawmakers introducing a plan requiring Wisconsin hospitals be more transparent in what they charge for procedures. The measure requires hospitals keep a list of non-emergency services they provide and bans providers from charging for that information or forcing people to set up an account in order to access it. The Wisconsin Hospital Association says the measure isn't necessary because similar federal requirements already exist. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
How are you keeping your kids occupied this summer? River West Outdoor Educational Adventures offers activities featuring bike rides, canoeing, rock climbing, hiking, and more for kids in the greater Milwaukee area. They also offer these activities for adults, families, and groups.
This sounds awesome. How can we sign up?
To sign up or request more info, call River West Outdoor Educational Adventures at 414-263-4877. 414-263-4877.
Feeling down, anxious, depressed? You are not alone. According to the World Health Organization, approximately 280 million people have depression, but the majority never receive treatment. At WellPoint Care Network, they can help. Their outpatient clinic staff are both qualified and caring, not to mention highly trained in partnering with you on your healing journey. Make an appointment today at wellpointcare.org. They serve all ages, infants, children, and adults. Both in-person and virtual services are available. Learn more at wellpointcare.org.
Real Chili's been serving up mouth-watering goodness to the people of Milwaukee since 1931. Their famous secret award-winning chili recipe is the same as it was back then, and a local treasure. From lunch to dinner to late-night breakfast, Real Chili has you covered. And now you can bring the Real Chili to your next party, tailgate, wedding, or office gathering with their unbeatable catering options. And don't forget about their Real Love Party Packs, perfect for small groups, and pick up from their two convenient locations, downtown Milwaukee and near Marquette University campus. Visit them at realchili.com. That's realchili.com.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Today's portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, what a coincidence. We have Robert Lilligren, who's the CEO of Native American Community Development Institute. You know, it took me a good 6 months to be able to say that. You remember that?
I know. You still can't say NACD correctly, but keep trying.
Shoot. Wendy's over there shaking her head going, how did this guy get on the air?
Who, you or me? You or
me. Not you,
not
me.
You at all.
Thanks, buddy.
Shoot. Hey, so what's happening at NADCI and what's happening on
NACD.
The yes, and on the avenue. Thank you, Wendy.
Thanks. Well, as you guys know, because you were there, it's Indian Month in Minneapolis and in all of Minnesota, and you know, as a lot of folks know, American Indian History Month is in the fall nationally, but here, because of the high level of advocacy activism, especially by American Indian Movement, May is Indian Month here. And so the big kickoff was Monday. It looked so good. It broke my heart not to be there because of my effing COVID. But but you could see the community. This has been 3 years, right, since we've been able to get together in this way, and people loved it.
Yeah, and it's funny you should say that, too, because, like, the powwows have been jam-packed. There was one that was at the, where the heck was it? But it was, like, a record number of people, just because people want to get out, see their relatives, and celebrate being Native and in a community.
Yeah, for sure. And people have had the opportunity over these years to work on their ribbon skirts or their regalia. So it's just like this rush forward to fill that void. And I love it. And there's stuff scheduled all month. People can go to the NACDI website, the Metropolitan Urban Indian Director's website. But we're keeping this calendar in pretty much every day. For me, something has happened, and it just warms my heart that the Native community here in the Twin Cities embraces this, takes it seriously, you know, is focusing on our own celebrations and community building and inviting the rest of the community in. And it doesn't have to be about the outside community, the outside politicians. It's our celebration, and people are doing that.
Right. And it's really grown over the years and it's really picking up again. And I know a couple weeks ago, or was it less than a couple weeks ago, All My Relations Gallery opened up another beautiful
display.
Thank you, Wendy.
Yeah. There's a great show going on that was it's a partnership with Thunder Bay.
Wow.
A gallery there. Yeah, I love it. And so that's been super moving and always something new happening there. And one of the pieces, you know, All My Relations is a gallery. It's for as tiny as it is and as tiny as we are at NACDI, you know, it's become really one of the premier contemporary Native arts galleries in our whole region. But we're also now, you know, NACDI is all about building capacity. And so we have two arts cohorts going on. One is public art, and that's a partnership with Hennepin Theater Trust that's putting Native art downtown Minneapolis, Hennepin Avenue, our theater district, and bringing a ton of awareness there. And also we have a Native authors cohort, our second one going on, that's taking Native authors from an idea to publishing and then creating Native professional Native authors. And that's all out of our little tiny gallery.
Wow, that is exciting. Really exciting. Hey, I got to just throw out, too, I know you can't do this, but our daughter's in a play in the new Native Theater, and that's ending Saturday. And what a run and what a beautiful play. We were just so blessed to see my Hinu there, my first daughter, in this play. What a great, just community, Robert.
That's how I got here, right? Or how we got here, is that the title?
Yep. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm assuming you guys have seen it. And I'm so jealous because now COVID's going to keep me from seeing it. And again, another heartbreak. I won't be able to see it live, but it sounds like just a huge success by New Native Theater.
Right. What I heard, too, is they may be taking it on the road. And so we might have another chance if you end up being at White Earth or some other place here other than the Twin Cities. So that's exciting.
Super exciting. I give a lot of credit to Rihanna Yahtzee and the founder and head of New Native Theater and just all of their efforts. And it's been kind of interesting, you know, that the actors and artists that New Native Theater brings into the Twin Cities. Then at NACT and all my relations arts, we've been able to host conversations with international Indigenous artists that are here through the Cedar Cultural Center. And so we've had some New Zealand and Australian Indigenous artists that have been able to meet with us and New Native Theater artists. And that's what it's all about, right? This international network of Indigenous people expressing our cultures and powers. Cool.
Yeah, very cool. I'm kind of stunned as you put it together like that. I always think that, you know, Robert's on tonight. We're going to have a really positive show and maybe talk a little bit about politics. But, you know, we haven't seen you in a couple of weeks. And it's just like, wow. There's a lot of great things happening here in Minnesota.
So much. And I'm happy to talk politics, especially as we ramp up to 2024.
Right.
Which is a pivotal year nationally in politics. But NACT's flexing its muscle. We're getting ready. Yeah. So I'd love to talk more about it in the future.
We definitely will. And we were lucky, too, because we're all over civic media in Wisconsin, too. Another 11 stations. And we were really excited to talk to the new Supreme Court judge in Wisconsin, Proda Sewich. And Robert, it took me a couple weeks to be able to say her name before she got on.
That was excellent. I can't even say her name, but you are saying it. And I know you're very modest at Native Roots Radio, but you guys played a role in making sure she got elected. So congratulations.
Right on. And then, you know, we've been really excited. Two cycles ago, there was 13 Native Americans running for office. And with your help and our help, you know, 12 of them were elected. And we like those odds, and we like to really amplify these people, our Native relatives, and get them elected.
Yeah. And as well you should, we'll keep doing that. And yeah, it's just thrilling, you know, and I don't know how much time we have left, but I want to make sure to lift up an event that my organization, NACT, is hosting on May 13th as part of American Indian Month. It's, you know, we have our food sovereignty work. We call it Four Sisters Food Sovereignty. We have a farmer's market. We have an urban farm, and at the farm on May 13th, we are celebrating food sovereignty at 11 a.m. at our farm on the 2800 block of 18th Avenue. We'll have ceremony, food, and things, and I just want to really lift it up. It's been an incredible, you know, kind of adjacent to land back. The county has given us this land that for decades they couldn't control. It was so crime-ridden and violent. And now we've taken it over, started in ceremony and now in food sovereignty, and we're settling this land down in South Minneapolis in the Phillips area, just a block off Lake Street, and where the uprisings following George Floyd's murder happened. And so... Wow. So you can go to NACT for more info, but it's May 13th, and I really want to encourage people to show up. It's so positive.
It is, and it's a great celebration, part of our celebratory month. That's exciting. I'm going to try and sneak away, and maybe I'll have my headphones on, and if I have to vote, I'll have to just step a few steps away to vote in my other job. But it is a celebration and celebratory month, and And we got like 2 minutes. Why don't you just run that by again one quick time before we go?
Yeah, so there's a ton going on during American Indian Month here in the Twin Cities or in the state of Minnesota. This is May 13th.
Right.
It is from at 11 o'clock. It's at that 2800 block of 18th Avenue. So right on the Midtown Greenway, right off Lake Street. We'll have ceremony, food, giveaway. There'll be, it's not just American Indians that'll be there. It'll be a community and stuff who are super celebrating this. Mm-hmm. And then also just to bring forward, you know, as you guys know, here during the month of May, all communities have, or all organizations.
Because that's what school.
So if folks want to come by on May 23rd, to NACD, to our open house. Also, it's Powwow Grounds and American Indian Community Dog Corporation. We'll have an Arvig open house, music, fun, right, our parking lot right outside Powwow Grounds on the 23rd. And there's so much going on, as you guys know, during American Indian Month here.
That's awesome, and we've been trying to hype it up. And what I really like about the 23rd, it's a day before my 62nd birthday, so I'll be there celebrating for sure and bringing that point up. So what am I – I'm registered at not Dayton's, but where am I registered now for my birthday?
Anywhere you can buy baseball cards.
Easy. Hey, Rob. Thank you so much for being on. We got like a minute left. It's just, I'm glad you're feeling better, and by the 13th you'll be out of quarantine, and hopefully you'll be able to make it there. Yeah, fingers crossed. Great to see you. Happy Native American Month here.
Great to see you. Back at ya. Keep up the good work.
You too. Peeny Gigi, thank you so much. Hey, that was Robert Lilligren, a Native American Community Development Institute here in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. Always a great conversation. Hey, we'll be right back, Wendy, with our sacred animals section.
Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org. Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
Part of my favorite part of the show, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we have our sacred animal section here. What a full show we've had. And yeah. I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many years, and she speaks and over the last 7 years about our sacred animals. And I learned so much, and I know I say that every time, but it's so true. Welcome.
You're going to learn more now.
Oh, welcome, Wendy.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the state and local level. And it's always my pleasure to be here and to talk about our sacred animals. And like you said, Robert, not only do you learn something new every time, so do I. And I'm going to be talking about our state bird.
The loon.
The loon. I just found this out and I had no idea. So the Richland Animal Rescue Organization posted this on Facebook. And they said that loons are not terrestrial. They cannot stand up and walk on land. I didn't know that. Their feet are positioned back too far, and they cannot gain the necessary lift on land for flight. They are designed to work only in water.
What?
Yeah. So if you see a loon on land, it's likely in trouble.
Oh.
And what they want you to do is carefully pick it up, like cover it up with a towel and pick it up. It says here that they are not an overly aggressive bird, and take it to a large body of water and put them back in the water. But obviously, if you think it's possible that the bird is sick or injured or, you know, something's happening to it, or if you're really just not, I mean, just not, you know, unsure of it, just please call a licensed wildlife rehabilitation center as soon as possible. That's pretty close. Sounds like an injured or sick loon.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah, but I had no idea that they can't be on land, and
no,
they don't walk around on land, and they can't take off on land. I had no idea.
You know, that reminds me of hummingbirds can't drive backwards. Isn't that?
Hummingbirds are the only bird that can go backwards.
Yeah, something like that. That's just crazy.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. I learn something every day. So here's a myth, and this was posted by Howling for Wolves.
Oh.
Here's the myth. Wolves are dangerous to people and pets. This is the fact. Wolves naturally fear humans and tend to shy away from human contact. There have been only two related human deaths in North America in the past 100 years. Wolves are territorial and naturally compete with dogs. However, wolves naturally fear humans and generally will not approach pets in the presence of humans. So if you're with your dog or your cat or whatever, it's not going to bother you because they don't want to be bothered with you, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Here's one. This is from Underdog Rescue. So Underdog Rescue was a rescue organization that we got our dogs from.
Yeah.
And here's an interesting dog fact. Dogs and rain. So the reason that dogs hesitate before going outside into the rain when you open the door is it's not because they're afraid of getting wet.
Whoa.
It's because rain amplifies sound and their ears are so sensitive, it can be too intense for them.
Wow.
So that's why they stop.
Wow.
It's not because they don't want to get wet. So I will never, kind of give Wanda, our dog, a nudge when it's raining out. I'm like, you have to go.
We'll just put a little.
It's not because she doesn't want to. Yeah.
Put some little headphones on.
See, I didn't know that either. And I had no idea about the loon. I kind of knew what was going on with the wolves because we talk about them a lot. But listen to this.
Yeah.
This is incredible but true.
Mm-hmm.
Anting, like, you know, ants that crawl on the ground, there's a phenomenon called anting. And it's a behavior in which birds land on a nest of ants and allow the ants to invade their feathers. The ants will then spray a formic acid on the invader, and this acid will act as an insecticide, a fungicide, and a bacterial that will get rid of any pathogens that are on the bird.
Weird.
Isn't that crazy? I've never heard of that
Mother
before.
Mother Nature. Wow, that save
is
that one.
Mother Nature, I know.
Save that one. You can bring that up in the best of or
I
something.
I know.
Wow.
And you know what, Robert? We have these wonderful crows that come in our backyard.
They know me.
I know they do. And they have been known to be really smart and recognize people. They recognize faces.
They see
faces.
That nose come out of the house.
And then they start squawking. And then Robert will throw out some peanuts. And
they have me trained.
They really do. But there's a difference between a raven and a crow.
Right.
Yeah, so we get crows here. But a raven, they always travel in pairs. Mm. A crow will travel in groups. So when we see the crows come, they're always like a bunch of them, like 4 or 5 of them. So a raven will travel in pairs. A raven habitat is wild, and the crow's habitat is urban. Yeah. Wow. Ravens, 30-year lifespan for a raven. A crow, 8-year lifespan.
Huh.
Yeah, that's kind of sad. Now, a raven, the voice says, gonk. Gonk. And a crow says, caw, caw.
And a pig says, oink, oink. What
but the ravens, the ravens has a wedge-shaped tail.
Hmm.
And a crow has a fan-shaped tail.
I think you told me that before.
Yeah. This is the most common thing that when I see a raven, it's they have a bigger and a curved bill. So their bill is curved and much bigger. And the crow is smaller and flat. And they're both extremely intelligent. Both of them are very, very smart. So those are the difference between a raven and a crow. I haven't seen a raven in years. I don't even remember the last time I saw a raven, but we have tons of crows around here. I really, really, you know, care about them.
Yeah, they're so smart. And
they
you said something, I don't want to break into your jam, but you said something before about crows being able to figure out McDonald's bags or something. Remember
yeah,
that?
They did a study once where they just threw out like paper bags. And the crows learned that the paper bag that had the M on it, the arch of the McDonald's, that they went for those bags more often because they knew that they found more food or French fries or whatever was left over in that bag. Yeah, they're really pretty smart. This is from the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Minnesota. Minnesota turtles are on the move.
What?
Yeah, right now, turtles of all sorts are making their way to summer habitats and breeding areas. As excited as they are moving with speed, it is not on the agenda, and dodging traffic is next to impossible. So the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center would like to share some tips on how you could help turtles and in your area. First, while it can be tempting to move turtles to a safer locations, please resist the urge. Turtles bond with the bodies of water they call home, and if they are moved, they will wander as many miles and across as many roads as it is to take them to return them to that specific place. Turtles have been known to just go in circles and circles and circles for years, just trying to find the right place that they want to.
Do you remember what turtles do when you pick them up and put them on the other side of the road?
One peed on me once.
Yeah.
Next, if you do find an injured turtle, take note of the precise location found. Drop a pin on your map on your phone and remember landmarks and intersections and try to locate the nearest body of water. When you bring the turtle to the Wildlife Rehabilitation Center or another licensed rehabilitator, the intake team will ask for the specific location where you found the turtle so they could bring it to that exact spot.
Wow,
because
great.
They don't want them to be walking around stressed out.
Great.
Looking for their body of water.
Great segment as always. Hey, I want to thank the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Minnesota for stopping in, Robert Lilligren and Wendy for all you do and the great information, and Haley for being our backup person and running the show behind the scenes here. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the sixth season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer Garden on May 19th. Log on enjoymtpleasant.org.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.